Extend Christian greetings to each one that is present this morning. It's a good day to be in the house of God and to worship Him. Call to memory His goodness, His wonderful works to the children of men, as the psalmist says. For our message this morning, in the last month or 6 weeks, two individuals requested a children's message or a child-friendly message, and I thought maybe that was what I should do, since two of them came rather close together. Two people said, hey, what time you preach a children's message again? So this morning I endeavored to make a child-friendly message. Now in my mind, probably the children will benefit the most from it, but I'm not sure if I'm the one to say who will benefit the most from it. God can use simple truths of His Word to touch every age group's heart and encourage us. So, although in my mind it's geared that way, I believe it can be an encouragement to all of us. So, before we begin the message, I would like to get the attention of the children. I think I've done this before, and I would call out ages and have you raise your hands and keep working down to see what is the lowest age group that recognized me asking the question of your age. Like this. So there's 5-year-olds here this morning, children. I'm sure there's 5-year-olds here, and I'm sure you comprehend what's going on, and I'm talking to you. So those of you that are 5 years old, without your parents' help, would you raise your hand so that I can see you there? If you're 5 years old, do we have any 5-year-olds? Maybe back there's one. Thank you. There's another. Yep. I see 3-4 hands. Good. So you understand that I'm talking to you and I'm asking a question. That's very good. Comprehension is there. Now let's move to the 4-year-olds. Is there any 4-year-olds here that are understanding and they can raise their hands? If you're 4 years old, raise your hand. There, I see one. Back there's another. You're 4 years old and you understand. That's great. Good comprehension. Back there's another. Thank you. Now let's go to the 3-year-olds. So let's see if there's any 3-year-olds here without the help of your parents. If you're 3 years old, children, can you hear me? If you're 3 years old, raise your hand. That's usually about where the edge is. I don't see any hands. Are there any that I'm missing? Does any of the parents see? 3 years old. So at about 4 years old, we have children coming to church that are understanding, at least in some way, that preachers and teachers and moms and dads are talking and teaching. It's interesting. About 3-4 line right there, 3-4 years old is about where that line is. Interesting. This morning, for a message title, children, I'd like to consider 6 things every child should know. Excuse me. Now, and we're going to take those from the life of Samuel. I don't think I've spoken from the life of Samuel in this way before, but 6 things every child should know. Now, this morning, I cannot see each child that is here in detail, but I believe these are 6 things that will be true about your life. However, these 6 things are not true in every child's life in the world. There are homes, children, where dads and moms do not love their children. And they're not growing up in a Christian home. And they're very underprivileged, if I can say it in that way. But these are 6 things that I believe every child here, it will be true about their life. And they're taken from the life of Samuel. The first verse I'd like to look at, and just as an introduction, is in Luke 18:16, when Jesus was there and Jesus was interested in children. And he said there in that verse, when the disciples were trying to shoo the children away, the disciples thought the children were bothering Jesus, or that they were taking away valuable time from him, that he should be doing other things. But Jesus said this. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Little children are of the kingdom of God. That's a beautiful verse. Children, you can understand that this morning. You are of the kingdom of God. And Jesus took time, at least we know in this account for sure. And I wonder if it didn't happen more, that Jesus took specific time to teach children. He said, suffer the little children to come under me. Can you imagine children? You 4-year-olds out there, you 5-year-olds, walking up to Jesus and Jesus saying, here, come here. I want to hold you. And sitting on the lap of Jesus while Jesus told you a story. Wouldn't that have been special? To sit on the lap of Jesus and Jesus would teach you something. He would tell you a story maybe of when he was a little boy. I don't know what all he taught them, but sitting on the lap of Jesus, I think would have been a very, very special time, special event. Further in the introduction, the word children is mentioned in the Bible 1,540 times. That's a lot of times. Now, there's other important words in the Bible. The word like holy is in the Bible. That's a really important word, right? Now, wouldn't you think that the word holy would be used a lot more than the word children? But it's not. The word holy is used 557 times. Whereas the word children is 1,540. The word children is used almost 1,000 times more than the word holy. An important word like love is in the Bible. You would think that would be an important word that maybe is used more than children, but it's not. The word love is used only 286 times. But the word children is used 1,540. The word father, you have a father, right? Children, you have a father, you have a mother. The word father is used in the Bible 977 times, but not as much as the word children. The word mother is used 293 times. Sorry, mothers, you're very important. But the word fathers are used more, and the word children is used even more. It's just interesting, and maybe that's not a fair evaluation, because you go through the Old Testament, and it'll say the children of Seth and the children of... And so maybe that's not a fair evaluation, but still, that word is used 1,540 times. Children are old enough to determine that they will choose right. You can be rather small here this morning, or rather young, I should say. I use the word young rather than small. Small isn't always a positive word. Sometimes at home we say the little boys, and our little boys aren't so little anymore. I keep trying to adjust my mind to say the younger boys. So it's not always a positive word to say the little or small, but young children, you can be 4 or 5, and you can determine in your heart. You can determine, meaning you will decide and you will choose to do right. At a young age, you can say, I will be obedient to mom and dad. I will be obedient to God. I will always follow God. You can do that at a very, very young age. You could do that at 4. You were 4 and you raised your hand this morning. You can do that at 5. You can do that at 6. You can do that all the way up to whatever age. But even at a very young age, you can determine in your heart that you will be a right person or an obedient person or an obedient child. You can determine that. And it's difficult because there's many things that you can do that are naughty, but you can still determine with your mom and dad's help. You can determine to choose right. And you will make mistakes. You will. Children can understand at an early age that they are special to God. You're very special to God. You have a special place in his heart. He loves you. So therefore, children can be instructed in holiness as I believe Jesus did. Now, going to the book of Samuel, I'm not going to probably read a lot of verses. I like to put it a little more in story form so it's not quite so abrupt for the children. Well, we'd like to look at the life of Samuel and notice 6 things that were true about his life that I believe are true for the children that are here this morning. I believe it's going to be either is true or will be true as you continue to grow older. The first point we like to notice is that I believe is true about you children in this audience this morning is that you are prayed for. You are prayed for. There's a story in the Bible about Samuel. His mother's name was Hannah. And Hannah was a very sad woman. Why was she sad? She was sad because she wanted to have a little boy of her own. She wanted to have a baby boy. She wanted to have a son. But she had no son. And she was sad about that. So one year, she was married to a man named Elkanah. And one year, as they went up to the temple, we could say church, they went up to the church to do the yearly sacrifice, or have their yearly service, we'll call it. Hannah went alone. And she had this sad heart, because she wanted a little boy to call her own. So she went up to this service, and as she was there, she decided that she was going to pray to God so that she could have a little boy. So she went into the temple, into the church, and she knelt down and she prayed. And she prayed to God. She said, God, give me a little boy. It's in 1 Samuel 1, chapter 1, I have verse 4, but that's not right. Anyway, it's verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the infliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, or a baby boy, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She prayed this. And as she was praying, she didn't pray out loud. And there was a preacher in that church, he was a priest, but kind of the same thing. And he saw her. And he saw her lips moving, and he thought she was drunk. And so after the service, or sometime, he said, you need to put away your strong drink. He thought she was drinking alcoholic beverages, something like wine or something that had alcohol in it. And she said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but I'm not drunk. But I'm really sad today, and I'm praying to God that he would give me a baby boy. And he said, and then he realized his mistake, and he said, well, the Lord give you what you're asking. I don't think she told him what she was asking for. And that's the story of her prayer. She prayed for a little boy. Now, the point I'm trying to make with you children is that you are prayed for. You are prayed for. Some of you were prayed for in the very way that Hannah prayed for a little boy. Your parents prayed, dear God, give us a child. And he answered that prayer, and you are a result of that prayer. Further, you are prayed for as you live your life, because parents are interested in God's blessing being on you and that you would grow up to be a blessing to God. They're interested in your safety. They're interested in your growing up to be a Christian person, and that's another point I have later. But you are prayed for. What a privileged child you are today to have parents that love you so much that they pray for you. And you've probably heard your mother or your dad pray for you. Name you by name. Sometimes they say pray for each one around the table. Sometimes they mention you by name. You're prayed for. That is a very, very special blessing to be prayed for by your mom and dad. You are prayed for, just like Samuel was prayed for. The second point we'd like to make is your parents' greatest desire for you is that you would serve God. Again, we go to the story of Hannah. And as she was praying, at the end of her prayer, she said, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. Says it again in verse 28. That was after the child was born. God answered her prayer and Samuel was born. In fact, his name means, according to what I found, is heard of God. His name had a special meaning of heard of God. In verse 28, as she brought him to the temple, she says, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So, what happened is, Hannah was at this church service and she prayed and God answered her prayer and gave her a little boy. And there was a few years there that while she was taking care of this baby boy that she didn't go up to that yearly church service. She stayed at home and her husband said, that's okay, that's fine. She said, only the Lord's word be established. So one day, after Samuel was old enough that he was eating regular table food. The Bible says that when he was weaned, Hannah decided this is the year to take him up to the church, up to the temple, and she was going to give him back to the Lord. And what she did, I can't imagine that journey as Hannah and her husband and little Samuel From the study that I found, he was about 3 years old, some think. That was more the Jewish custom when they were weaned. 3 years old. She took this little boy up to the temple. And there's other ideas on how old he was. Some say 8, some say 12. But a lot agree on 3. So we're not exactly sure about his age. But they had this little procession of going up to the yearly church service. And his mother had this little boy, and it was in her heart, and she knew what she was going to do. She brought him to Eli and said, "Here's my little boy. I'm giving him to you to serve in the temple." She gave him back to God. Wouldn't that have been a hard thing to do? That would have been a very hard thing, I believe. But your parent, and that was because of Hannah's great desire that her son, her child, would serve God. And that is your parents' desire today. You're in this audience this morning, you four-year-olds, you five-year-olds, all the way up to nearly married, all the way through the teenagers, all of you, all of us together. It is the parents' desire, greatest desire, that you would serve God. That's why your parents brought you to church this morning. One of the reasons they brought you to church. It's one of the reasons they bring you to church and you go to Sunday school. Excuse me, I'm not sure what's in my throat. But there's many ways. That's why mom and dad read the Bible to you at home. Because their greatest desire is that you would grow up and serve God. It's the most important thing in life. The most important thing is to serve God. And so your parents' greatest desire is for that. And your parents don't really care. They do and they don't. Whether or not you grow up and you have a lot of money. Or whether you grow up and you really are good looking, or you're really a pretty girl, or you're really a handsome young man. No, their greatest desire is that you would serve God. And you can determine today in your heart that you will serve God. You can have those thoughts. You can think those thoughts. Even as a 4 and a 5 and 6 year old that went, when I grow up and I am going to serve God with all my heart. You can have those thoughts today, and it's a good thought to have. It's a thought pattern to train. It will make that day easier when the day comes that God will call you, and that's another point. But your parents' greatest desire is for you to serve God. And a lot of work and a lot of prayer goes into that because they are very interested in that. It is a very sad thing for parents to see their children not serve God. And I want you children to understand that. It's heartbreaking. It makes their heart very sad to see one of their children turn away from God. You need to know that. You need to think about that. That at some age, if you're in your teens or whatever, even later, then there's a day that you're tempted to walk away from God. Number one, it's not right. And number two, you're going to break your parents' heart. It's something to think about. It's another checkpoint in keeping you on the path that you need to be on, the path of God. The third point we'd like to teach is your earth life will always be lived in an evil world. That's pretty negative, isn't it? But we have this story again of Samuel and Hannah and his parents. Okay, so we go back to the story again. Samuel was left there at this church house to help with the things that went on in the church. And Eli was the priest or the pastor. And he had two sons that were also, I believe, priests or preachers in the church, we could call them in your language. But the two sons were very evil men. When people would bring a sacrifice to the temple, to the church to sacrifice as they did in those days, the sons of Eli, these two pastors, would rob the people of their sacrifice. They would take meat from this sacrifice that was not theirs to take. Those verses are in 1 Samuel 2:12 is where that account is. And it got so bad that the people would say, "No, you shouldn't do this. And make sure you burn the fat, or sacrifice the fat of the meat that was on the meat." And they say, "No, give it to us raw, or we will take it by force. We will force you." They were robbing the people. They were thieves. They were robbers in the house of God, in the church. And I can't help but think of this little boy that was dedicated to the house of God, that his mother took him up there and gave him into the house of God, and there were two very wicked men in the church. My point is to you, children, that you will grow up in an evil, wicked world. It is the world we live in. That is not to scare you. We need not be fearful of that. It's the world we live in. But God cares for us. He takes care of us. And Samuel, he found his way because I believe he was walking close to God. He found his way in that evil world and among those evil men. The thing I like to say about evil individuals is beware. Not all evil men are unfriendly. Some evil men are friendly. Some evil women are friendly. Just because someone is evil does not mean they're somehow unappealing or unlikable. But there are times when there are very wicked individuals that are likable and friendly. But it is what makes them evil is that they are doing things against God's will or against the Bible. They're not doing what God wants them to do. They're doing something wicked that God says they should not do. Or they are to do something that God says they are to do and they're not doing it. So you will grow up in this evil world. But you can be a Christian in this evil world. You can determine to serve God in this evil world. It really makes no difference that we grow up in the evil world because we have a great God. We have a big God. A God that is more powerful than all the evil men and all the evil women and all the evil of the world. So it really makes no difference that you grow up in this evil world, but you need to know it so that you beware and that you read God's word as you get older. Some of you cannot read yet. The 4 and 5 year olds that raised your hand probably cannot read. But you will get to the age where you can read. You get through first grade. And at an early age, as soon as you can read, you really need to be reading the Bible. I know a story of a man. Now, this is not a Bible story, but by the age of 8, I think he read through the Bible 3 or 4 times. And those of you that know Aaron Shank, I think that's a story. It was quite a number of times by the time he was 8 or 9. That will leave an impact on you. And that will enable you, as you continue in that, and as you seek God and receive salvation, reading this word and starting at an early age will enable you to live in an evil world safely. Safely. And that is my encouragement to you. Start reading. Don't wait until you receive Christ or become a Christian to read your Bible. No. Start way early, because this is what life is about. It's about living the Bible. The fourth point I'd like to consider is that you are loved and cared for. You are loved and cared for. Go back to the story again of Samuel. He's living at the church house, helping with things around the church. Don't know if they had grass to mow, but I think it was chores inside the temple, I believe. So he's there working. His mother had left him there to serve God. But it says in 1 Samuel 2:19 that every year, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Every year, Samuel's mother would come up at that yearly time and bring him a new little coat. Can you imagine Samuel, a little boy, he's waiting and he gets to know this time of the year of when the yearly sacrifice is. And he starts getting that little excitement in his heart. He said, Mom's coming. She's going to bring me a new coat this year. I wonder what color it's going to be, but it's going to be a new coat. It was the love of his mother, her mother heart going out to him and caring for him, that she would bring him a new coat every year. You are loved and cared for in the same way. This morning you're dressed nice and fine this morning. Do you know that your mom and dad work hard to keep you in clothes? They work hard to keep you eating good food and food on the table and a warm house. They pay the electric bills. They pay the heating bills, the oil bills, they pay all of that, they pay the grocery bills, they work hard. And that's why? That's because they love and care for you. These things don't just happen, it's work. It's love and care that is coming from your mom and dad that clothes you and feeds you. You're loved and cared for. What a blessing. And again, not all children in the world have these blessings. We live in a very blessed country where it is fairly easy to do the jobs we need to do to make the money to buy your clothes and food. But there's other places in this world that moms and dads, even as hard as they can work and as hard as they try, their children still go hungry at night. And they don't have enough clothes to wear. And so, just on a sideline, it is in those areas we can help in those countries through CAM or through however. And you're, even in your child heart, can reach out to those other children that are not blessed like you. You are loved and cared for. Number five, someday God will call you to be a Christian. This is one of the six things that every child should know. Someday God will call you to be a Christian. We'll go back to the story again of Samuel. And he's growing older now. I'm not sure what age he is. But he's turning into a lad, a young man, I'm quite certain at this time. And he had served Eli faithfully. He is serving Eli faithfully. He does his chores faithfully, whatever his chores were. And one night, Eli goes to bed, and Samuel goes to bed. And they're lying there, preparing to sleep, trying to sleep. He said before the candle in the temple went out, so they had just gone to bed. And Samuel hears a voice. And it says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel jumps up out of bed, runs over to Eli and says, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." He said, "Go back to bed." So Samuel goes back to bed, crawls in bed, lays down. And he hears the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." He jumps up and he runs over to Eli and says, "Eli, you called me." "No," he said, "I didn't call you." And Samuel, being a wise man, being a pastor, he said, "I believe God's calling you. So the next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear.'" So Samuel goes back to bed. He lays down again, and he hears the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And God begins talking to Samuel. And he tells them about what's going on in the church. He tells them about Eli's evil sons and what he's going to do to them. He tells them a lot of things about the future of the temple and the children of Israel there. Now, someday God will call you to be a Christian. How will God call you to be a Christian? And I don't want you to take this story and say that you're going to hear your name, God call your name verbally, like you hear an individual's voice, like you hear your dad's voice or your mom's voice or your teacher's voice. It is very unlikely that you will hear an audible voice. I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's unlikely. How will you know when God calls you to be a Christian? How will you know? Well, it is an understanding that you are a sinner before God. It's an understanding. That's the call, that you need God. It could be a restlessness in your heart. It could be that you know you're not able to live a good life by yourself. You're trying hard to, but you can't. But the thing that I would like to impress upon your minds more than anything is that God will make it plain to you. You don't have to worry. I remember at home, we would ask our mom and dad, "How will I know when it's time to become a Christian?" Because we were concerned about that. This was a table conversation that we had many times. I remember it. And we would ask, "How will we know?" And the great thing that I remember, the thing that calmed my fears was my parents would tell me, "God will show you. God will show you." Why will God show you? Because it's His business. It's His business. And so God will make it plain to you when you are to become a Christian. You don't need to worry about that. At the same time, it's good for it to be on your mind that when God calls, I will answer. I remember having that heart myself, is that when God calls, I will answer. And for me, it was more, "Is He calling? Is He calling?" I don't feel like I ever rebelled against the call of God. And I remember in my own experience in coming to the Lord, how that probably in 7th or 8th grade in school, there was, I don't feel like I did real bad things in school, but there's little things I could do better on. And I remember thinking, I can't do these things. So my first step was I cleaned up my life. It's like, okay, I won't do those things. I will be very obedient. I won't whisper in school. I won't do these things. And that worked for a little bit, but after a while, it's still like, I came to the place where said, it's not about what I'm not doing, but I am a sinner before God because Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden. And I don't want you to think I was a perfect child. I did do wrong things, but it was more the understanding that I am not right before God. So God will make it plain to you when he is calling you to himself. And it's right to do like Samuel did. When you think you are hearing the voice of God or God is calling you, it is right to run to Eli or your dad and say, here I am, for you called me. Is this the call? Speak to your parents. Speak to your pastor. Speak to your school teacher. Someone, I believe parents is going to your parents is the greatest honor you can give to your parents, but it doesn't have to be that way. But God will call you someday to be a Christian. Answer that call and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to live in your life. He wants to make you a cheerful person. He wants to make you a holy person. And above all, remember that he will make it plain because it's his business. It's his business. This is the business that he is in. He will make it plain to you. And that story is in 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. The sixth thing that I would like to share with you this morning, six things every child should know, is that God has a very special job for you in his kingdom. His kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Well, that's a pretty big subject for this morning, but the kingdom of God is when you are a Christian and you're doing the things of God, whether helping in the church, whether being a Sunday school teacher, whether being a janitor, whether being a preacher, whether being a teacher in the school, whether being, there's just many things that you serve in the kingdom of God. It is speaking to others about Jesus Christ, maybe your neighbors, talking to them about God, talking to those you meet at Walmart or wherever you go, talking to individuals about God. But God has a very special job for you in his kingdom. Let's go back to the story of Samuel. I almost forgot. But Samuel was growing up, and he was there. He had that experience of God talking to him. And we go down to chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. I think it's at near the end of the chapter. Listen to what it says. It says, and Samuel grew. Samuel was getting big. He was getting to be a young man, I believe. And the Lord was with him. And it says in verse 20, and all Israel. Now, Israel was a big group of people, a huge group of people. I believe millions, if you go back to the crossing of Egypt, there could well have been a few million people here. I'm not sure. It was a huge group of people. It says, all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. God had a very special place in his kingdom earmarked with the name Samuel on it. There was a slot that God had, and it said, I need a prophet. And God put a name in there. It said Samuel. God has slots in his kingdom from this point forward, from this day onward. He has slots, job slots, in his kingdom, in his church. And he has names of little boys and girls that are here this morning. He has your name in there. And he says, I want this name to be a preacher. And he says, I want this name to be a school teacher. And I want this name to be the janitor. God has all those jobs as far as... See, God's mind is limitless. It goes on and on into infinity, into eternity future. I'm not sure what word really fits there. But I know, since we had business meeting, I have a paper somewhere that says all the job descriptions of who is doing what in this coming year. So we kind of know, but I don't even know next year. I don't know who all is going to fill all those job slots that God has, but God knows. And not only does he know about next year, but he knows 10 years from now, and 20 years from now, and 50 and 100 if he tarries, and on. God has these little slots, and he has you boys and girls, young men and older men, all of us together. He has those names. He has them written in there. And all of Israel, from Dan unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet. That is a very special thought to me as I think about God has your name. He wants you in his kingdom. Don't fail God. Say yes to God. Say yes to those job descriptions. Say yes to those jobs in his kingdom. Those things you can do. It takes all of us. Someday, someone, as the Lord tarries, someone will replace me as pastor. I don't consider myself old, but I'm getting older. Someday I'll not be able to preach if the Lord tarries. I'll be too old to preach, or I won't be here to preach because I passed away. Someone needs to fill this spot. And God has a name. He has a name. Isn't that neat? Isn't that so great of our God? And this is something you need to know. So, this morning, let's think about these six things that every child is to know. And I know six things is a lot for children to remember. So maybe you can remember one. Maybe you can remember two. But still, I just want to teach it. Because I believe you remember something from this morning. And the older we are, the more we remember. And hopefully sometime in the future, we'll do this type of thing again. Because it is very important as boys and girls that we decide and determine to love and serve God, and that you know that you're prayed for. Gives you a foundation. You're loved. Well, God bless you, each children, one and all, and us older ones also. May we love and serve God together and work in his kingdom for the good and the cause of it. Shall we?